This episode is sponsored by the new documentary, Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, streaming exclusively on Disney+. There have been many variations of the Wagatha saga, and now it's time to uncover her truth. In this three-part original series, Colleen will tell her story in her own words for the first time. Tune in to learn how Colleen figured out who was leaking her stories to the press, get an exclusive look at the trial, and discover unseen and unheard moments. If you'd like to dive even deeper, listen to our podcast, British Scandal, for an exclusive episode about the Wagatha saga on the 27th of October. Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, an original series now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like, because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about. On ye, oh bravs. I'm Ronnie. I'm not with Ben today, actually. Ben is in the hospital. He had appendicitis, so he had to get some surgery. I heard from his parents. He came out of surgery with a new face and a bigger wiener, so congrats to Ben. We were all wondering what he was really in there for. Seems like that was it. But he came out of surgery, and he's okay. And by the way, I miss you a lot, Ben.
Miss you.
That was sad, obviously. But another thing that happened that was sad was this episode of Southern Charm. Okay, so anybody who follows this show beyond just watching it, you know, follows it on social media or whatever, knows that tragedy strikes this show quite a bit this year. Olivia's brother passes away, which happens in this episode. And later on, Taylor's brother actually passes away, from what I understand. It's a lot of sadness. It's a lot of shit. Even I won't make fun of, okay? And I'm a dick. I'll make fun of anything. But I won't even make fun of that. So I didn't know that this was the episode. So I just did my notes and was watching as usual. And halfway through the episode, boom, that happened. I don't really want to cover that. But I don't want to skip a week of Southern Charm because I love this show. So I'm going to do half of it. How about that? Okay? I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to do half the show. So enjoy that. Okay, guys? So now remember, when I make fun of these people, I'm making fun of them before tragedy has struck them. Okay? I'm not making fun of them during tragedy striking them. This is before tragedy struck. So enjoy this first half of the episode. In the meantime, our hearts go out to Olivia's family. This is just horrible. We hope she's doing okay, obviously. So let's get to the show.
Previously on Southern Charm, Paige dressed like a windshield sun visor and pretended to be intellectually compatible with Craig so that she could stay on her third Bravo show. I love that you gave me a closet in your house and my own room that I can kick you out of. You can go now.
What do you think of pillows with drawings of pillows on the front of the pillows?
I said leave, sir. While Olivia and Rod flirted with each other.
You got my gluten-free bread once. I'm gonna make your babies.
Taylor flirted with terrible sweaters and another car wreck of a male.
After asking you to lie about making out, I did, in fact, tell Shop that we made out. Oh, no. Proving I can't even be honorable in my lying style.
I can't believe that my ex's best friend that hooked up with me the second he had a chance isn't trustworthy. I'm gonna dress like scrambled eggs until spring.
Scandal! And as word of their tryst was spread by the cutest little Martha Stewart this side of a pre-prison poncho, Miss Patricia, Taylor, and Austin kissed.
And then there's the nude photo she sent Whitney, but we're not talking about that. Here, I'll show you. Wait, that's Randy tied up in the trunk of the Rolls.
Did we take him out of there?
It's gonna be a hot day. Ding, ding, ding. Randy! Wait, and get Randy out of the trunk.
Yes, Mother.
When Olivia showed up to Shep's Bullets and Bones dinner party, being the only person that didn't know what was going on between Muppet Mouth Austin and Dumber Than Bubblegum Taylor.
Yes, Olivia, I lied, but he told me to. If he told you to wear a homemade sweater with sleeves like yarn in them and bags, would you do it?
Hey,
he didn't make me wear this sweater.
My bad. It's real pretty. Thank you. It wasn't just the pheasant that went from the frying pan into the fire.
Why are you mad even, Olivia? You're being insane right now, Olivia. Insane!
Between the two of y'all, the lies is unreal. Unfucking real.
Birds and the bees and the one, two, threes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we open up this episode in really a shocking way. I mean, it was something that I don't think any of us were expecting, you know? I mean, even longtime watchers of the show. I have to give this show credit for still being able to shock us the way that they did with this first scene. It's Vanita with her dog. Okay, it's her dog, Charles. But this time, she is pilling a sweater for Charles. She's like taking the pills off a sweater with one of those little pill remover things. And she's not just with Charles. She's with her boyfriend, who's real. I didn't see that one coming. I thought it was like I have a girlfriend in Canada kind of a thing. But he's there. He seems like a really sweet, nice guy and everything. But I love that she's got this guy to film with. And she's got the perfect setup for a relationship scene, which we have not seen Vanita in yet. And she still chooses to shoot the scene with her dog. So, and listen, I'd love to judge it, but I wasn't really that mad about it. And it's weird because I totally don't get what it's like making your entire life about your dog. So,
oh my God, I love you.
So then we go to JT, who I'm not really sure what he's doing on this show. He did start a little mess in the beginning, but now he's just kind of wandering around the Airbnb that he created with his mommy. And so he does that for the whole episode. But in this one, he's opening cabinets with nothing inside and deciding to have some wackiness. And he makes himself a cup of hot tea, but pours it in a wine glass. It's nuts. And it is nice to know that somewhere Patricia is probably throwing things at a wall
over this complete lack of manners and civility.
Then we go to Shep with his dog. And I'm kind of into a show just about people being alone in their house with a dog. Is that weird? I'd watch. So little Craig is running around. He's got the zoomies. And Shep plays with his dog the same way I do. He like stands there like he's in the play crouch. Like, I'm playing with you right now, dog. But then I never really chase or move. And neither does he. He just kind of stomps his feet. And then the dog knows that his owner is a lazy fuck who's going to make no effort for him. So you just stomp your feet. And then the dog starts running around in circles and then stops in front of you again. And then you stomp your feet. And then it completely runs in circles. And then I had the realization that I treat my dog the same way that Shep treats his dog. And I wrote my dog an apology letter.
Of course, I wish I was capable of doing better.
Listen, part of being a parent is teaching your children to be self-sufficient, okay? There's not always going to be someone there to play with you. Learn how to run in circles on your goddamn own. I don't get paid to do that.
Get a life. Get a job.
What have you thrown for me? Pill your own goddamn sweater. So we go over to Craig's house and Paige is there and we find out that Madison's coming over. And so she's getting, you know, snacks and stuff ready. And I don't know if she hates Madison or if this is just a test, but who in the hell would put a plate of donuts out for Madison?
I dare her to eat them. It's the ultimate test.
What are you going to get her for her birthday, Tolstoy? Make an effort. So Madison comes over and knocks, and Craig's like, come in.
You have to answer the door, Craig. You can't just say, come in.
Well, when I knock on your door, you never answer it.
Right. You're not supposed to come in.
Oh.
Stupid.
Wow, Craig. Look at this place. Paige, you have outdone yourself.
Thank you. It's good from one homemaker to another. Oh, I don't make homes.
Oh, sure you do. You're a real fixer. Craig was about to start wearing a cardboard sign that said, we'll work for beer, before you came to the picture.
That's our pool. We put babies on that shelf.
Craig, that's where the sun chairs go. Make sure this one's got a safety vest before he goes in the pool. Unfortunately, stupidity don't float.
Will you come over and hang out with Paige?
Of course, when I'm not cooking or cleaning or ironing or planting or watering or otherwise keeping my blue-collar man happy as apple pie.
which is the most American thing to ever America.
Gross. I know, right?
Then Craig tells us, one of Paige's biggest fears about moving to Charleston is that she doesn't have a social circle here. But Paige loves Madison, actually, because they're like both fiery as heck. But I love fire, and I love fireworks. Especially setting them off near friends' boats when they make me sleep in their shed instead of giving me a guest room.
Hey, buddy. It's Luke from Winterhouse here. Still not too happy about what you did near my boat. Now you're bragging about it on television.
Hey, you're not on this show, man.
Okay, I'm out. Just please remember safety around other people's things. And if you ever need to see someone tapping a tree righteously, come on over to my Insta, bro.
So, Paige, you're long distance like me and my man.
Yeah.
That was fun talk. Let's talk turkey, shall we? Oh my God, can we? Thank you so much.
I really don't have anything in common with you, but I do love to talk shit about people.
Are these donuts supposed to be some kind of test? Because I'm not touching those fuckers.
Oh my God, thank you so much for saying that. We can be friends. Craig, you're eating the donuts. You failed the test. Do 20 push-ups.
Aww.
Okay, real tea, okay? Whitney tells me that Taylor sent him a new photo.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you, Paige.
Oh my God, how could you forget to tell me something like this? It's like the only thing you would have said in months that would have made you listenable, Craig. I mean, I was scrolling through that picture. I didn't even see your face. All I saw was body, full front.
Well, it was dark lighting.
Wow, full frontal. I would never do full frontal. I just pick one flattering item and then I focus on that and take a picture of that. Once I sent a laundry instruction tab from the back of a sundress.
That was hot. What's up with Taylor and all of Shep's friends? She's like really lost.
And put an AirTag on her. This is embarrassing. And last night, Olivia shows up to that peasant chicken dinner, like not knowing anything that was going on. And then Taylor runs up to her and she's like, oh my God, we have to talk. I totally did kiss Austin.
What?
Yeah, it's like lying over 6 months. Like you lied to your best friend every time you saw her.
That's fucked up.
Are you still eating donuts? Will you ever learn anything? 40 push-ups.
You know what's real fucked up is that timeline.
Well, Austin told Craig that he and Olivia weren't together and they weren't even speaking at the time.
Well, I thought that happened after we were in New York.
And then we see clips of the reunion and Olivia is saying, we are not in a relationship. And Taylor says, that there's so much love there and Austin should have gone over there and swept her off of her feet. And then we see Austin going like, like kind of doing his tongue biting. As opposed to his tongue wagging or tongue just sticking out of his mouth for like 10 minutes at a time. I don't know. It's just one of his tongue moves. If you know, you know. I mean, you watch the show.
So apparently they have been sleeping together for months.
And Madison just goes, Because, you know, Madison has been playing very nice this season. I'm actually kind of liking this version of Madison as well. I like all the versions of Madison, but I like this one that's like,
look at me. I'm married, so I'm very innocent. And I plant flowers now.
So I'm enjoying that. But from the previews, we see evil Madison coming back. And, God, I've missed you. You know, I've really missed you. Welcome home. Austin goes to see his parents. Austin's parents seem like total sweethearts, and it is really nice to see them with kind of an appropriate look on their face at all times, because I feel like they have the same look on their face that the audience has on our face whenever Austin comes on screen. They just look like exhausted and disappointed, but still somewhat interested in seeing how it all turns out. I think that's a sign of a good parent. Now, that said, Wendy, I don't have a whole lot more compliments for you because A, Austin. So there's that. And B, you're dressed like leprosy today. Why are you dressed like a biblical disease, Wendy? So their new house is really cute, but they've got those... They've got that kind of modern lighting, which I hope is on its way out, where it looks like lighting has been put in a cage. It's like the first one is a chandelier, but it's in like three circular science fiction ring things that are all kind of going over. It's like, you will not escape. And then the light in their dining room is like a kind of a chandelier with one of those little candelabra bulb things. But then it's like in a iron cage, you know, it's like, let your light free. Do we really need to cage light? It's just like a sign of repression, you know? And it's not just them. It's like modern times. Like, let's just let it go. I want free lights, lava lamps for everybody. Who cares? So Austin's like,
so, Mom, Dad, how's retirement? How's retirement going, Mom? You like it? You like it? You bored yet, Mom?
No, I'm not bored. I mean, I wasn't bored until this conversation started, but Dad's like, bored? No, pickleball. Which is the answer to everything.
But how about you, Austin? How are you, honey?
And Austin's like, I'm just so exhausted with all of the nothing I do with my life. Wow. I mean, like, Olivia's angry with me. I mean, whatever. I tried to talk to her, and she was like, I fucking hate you. And here we go.
It's the thing that fuckboys do. They fuck you over, and then they're like, I just don't understand why no one she's mad at me. I just don't get it. She just won't give me a chance. You know, now, fortunately, his parents know him too well to let him get away with that. So the mom's like, oh God, why, Austin?
Should I ask why? Austin's like, why anything, Dad? Why anything?
Well, to that general question, I would give the answer I always give. Pickleball. What happened with Olivia?
He's like, well, I mean, actually, what happened was Taylor was really distraught over Shep, and we were just really there for each other. We were hanging out a lot. I was helping her, you know, just like I do. It was just helping pretty people. It was my mission in life.
His parents just look like, how do we keep ordering from DoorDash and getting the wrong thing every fucking time? Like, how? How is our luck this bad?
Did you sleep with her, Austin? Tell me you didn't sleep with her.
He's like, no! Good. But we kissed. We kissed.
It's like, oh God, you want to open up another bottle, honey? The French.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Watch What Crappens and Winter is Crappening are the funniest recap podcasts. But if you want something more eerie, try the new podcast, Ghost Story, about my investigation into a murder-suicide in my own family. Ghosts aren't real. At least that's what I've always believed. Sure, odd things happened in my childhood bedroom. But ultimately, I shrugged it all off. That is, until a couple of years ago, when I discovered that every subsequent occupant of that house is convinced they've experienced something inexplicable too, including the most recent inhabitant who says she was visited at night by the ghost of a faceless woman. It just so happens that the alleged ghost haunting my childhood room might just be my wife's great-grandmother, who was murdered in the house next door by two gunshots to the face. Ghost Story, a podcast about family secrets, overwhelming coincidence, and the things that come back to haunt us. Follow Ghost Story wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on October 23rd, or you can binge early and ad-free on Wondery Plus the same day.
So obviously Olivia's hurt, Austin. He's like, yeah, I've just been fucking up for women. I've just been fucking up with women. I just fall hard for women and fast, and I get to this point.
And the dad's like, yeah, it seems to be a pattern. Now, here's where Austin starts saying that he's going to a therapist. Now, this is tricky to talk about, right? Because as we go further into the episode, this does become a lot about, obviously, Olivia loses a sibling in this, right? And Austin has lost a sibling. So they have that in common. And then the conversation kind of becomes about that. It's therapy and kind of relating that loss to not being able to stay in a relationship or whatever, which is serious. So I don't really want to make fun of that too much. I will say that Austin does treat women like shit. I mean, we've seen it multiple times on this show. It's kind of the theme of this show. I don't know if part of it is being raised by Shep, like Shep and Thomas Ravenel and Whitney, like all the elder statesmen of this show, because Austin came after all of that. So maybe it's something about like being surrounded by douchebags. You become a douchebag. I mean, I don't know. But I guess therapy is a good start. Good luck with that, okay? In the meantime, please stop hurting people, okay? If you can't stop crashing into people, take your car off the road, okay? Just for a while. So then we get another really happy scene. They're really throwing all the happy scenes in for this episode. This next one is that the most acceptable part of Shep, little Craig, almost dies at daycare. Why does Shep need daycare while he does nothing and just is on his way to golf? I don't know. But he does. Okay. Who am I to daddy shame anybody else? besides a shamer. I'm a shamer. It's my hobby. So Shep has to go to the vet because the dog almost died. He had 108 fever, and he calls his dad, and his dad gives, you know, that helpful advice, which I guess every dad is giving now. He said, "Dad, the dog is at the vet. He almost died. Do you have any advice?" And the dad just says, "Pickleball." So, you know, at least we're sticking with the theme. So Shep goes to the vet, and the doctor's like, "Wow, you know, it's been a rough day over here." Basically, what happens is these dogs have these little smushed faces. And so when they get too heated up, they can't breathe. And Shep's like, "Does it sound like this?" And the doctor's like, "No, do you even know your dog? It sounds like this." And then Craig comes in, and Shep's like, "Oh my God, are you breathing like this?" And little Craig's like, "No, I was breathing like this." That dog is so cute. So I'm really glad that little Craig is okay. I kind of hope he can pack like a little stick in a bindle or whatever and just get the hell out of there. I want more for you, little Craig. Run. Run, little. Well, don't run because you have breathing problems, but walk. Slowly walk away from Shep, okay? So then we go over to JT just wandering around his new Airbnb event space or whatever. And Mommy Bunny comes over. Bunny, Mommy, Mommy, Bunny, Bunny, Mommy. Bunny comes over. And she's like, "Well, it's looking good." But you can tell that she does not think, in fact, that it's looking good. And he's like, "Wow, you did great, Mom. I was here to help you, right?" She goes, "You were physically here, I guess. But wow, what's going on with the furniture? Because I did not pick this furniture, honey." He's like, "Oh, yeah, I chose it." Listen, don't have a designer come help you. And then the second they leave, go start choosing ugly shit. She's like, "We need to change this furniture. Okay, get rid of this table. I don't care where you put it. Do you got a fire going? We can put it in there." She just goes over every little thing. She's like, "Well, the pillows are fine for a fishing cabin." And he likes it. He just likes a woman with a little jab in her. And so, you know, Peter Pan's with creepy mommy energy continue to be a thing on this show. And I have to hand it to casting. You know, they really stuck. It was like men who can't grow up. But not only men who can't grow up, men who can't grow up with severe mommy issues that are going to kind of creep out the audience. And or parents who kind of hate them. Visibly. So she moves furniture around disappointedly, and then they start talking about his life. And he's like, "You know, I should have a happy life, Mommy. My whole life, I've just been building this career, and let me just look at it. The culmination of it is here. This terrible couch I picked and an event space that my mom made." He says he can't do this for much longer because he's approaching 38 years old, and I still don't have a wife or a girlfriend. Well, first of all, God forbid, okay? Second of all, if you can't pick out a decent couch, it's going to be hard to have a girlfriend. I'm just going to say it right now. I think when you're really young, you can be tacky and like have no taste. And people are like, "Well, that's fine. I'll fix him. I'll train him." But when you are 38 years old, I think everybody pretty much knows the saying about old dogs, new tricks kind of thing. For example, I have had to accept, like, I never really cared if my dog could fetch. I was like, I'm not throwing anything. So what do I care if he fetches? But then that's like a sign of what a parent I am, that my dog can't fetch. And so I feel stupid. And so like 10 years later, it's like 12 years into this. And I'm like, I'm going to teach my dog to fetch. And guess what? My dog is never going to learn to fetch. He's not going to do it. I mean, it's a true saying. Old dogs literally will not do a new trick. My dog just gets a toy and then stares at me from across the room. And I say, come here, bring it. I point to the ground. I do this with my hands. And guess what? He's not going to fucking do it. Okay? Because he is an old dog and that is a new trick. So good luck. I mean, the guy doesn't know how to pick a couch. Die alone is the point. You're going to die alone. Have fun with your ugly couches. And alone death. He says, "Yeah, and I loved her, but I just don't think people should get married at 22. Would it have been different if I'd met her when I was 30? And she's like, "Oh, honey, men on this show don't age past 22. That wouldn't have mattered. Now, here's some advice. Get taller. That's my motherly advice to you. Pick better couches and get taller. He's like, but I just want to try. I want to try, mommy. I want to try to get it right. You know, honey, I tell myself that every day, but then I have to remind myself my eggs are cooked. Wait a minute. Are you talking about me?
It would be nice to have a child with taste is all I'm saying. Okay.
And I'm wearing an Italian wedding table runner as a scarf. And I'm still saying that. It would just be nice, mommy, to not feel buyer's remorse every day of my life. Tell me about it, honey. Are you talking about me again, mommy?
Well, you're talking about you. Why shouldn't I be talking about you? It's all you seem to want to talk about. You've got regrets. I've got regrets about you.
He's like pretend crying. He's like, this guy is so drama. I love that he's season one with nothing going on except walking around in circles in his apartment and fake crying to his mother about a relationship that ended like years ago. Love it. So his mom gives him the best advice she can muster. You know, she's like, listen, what women really like are men that don't work on anything ever. So I'm sure you're going to be fine, honey. When it's right, it's right. Okay. For an incredibly tasteless person. And they're out there. I see them all the time. You're not the only one. You're going to find someone else with equally terrible taste that is going to take you in. Okay. And I hope that nobody watching this on television thinks that your lack of taste comes from me, because that's obviously not true. Taste skips a generation. Okay? I'm going to look right into the cameras as I say that. So peace out. Please stop calling me. Do not pick furniture again on your own. Okay? Email me links next time. Bye, loser.
Yeah, yeah. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba.
So now we go over to Patricia's house and they call Michael. And it's really good to see Michael the butler again, because, you know, he had a stroke a couple of years ago. And it's good to see him on TV doing well. So they call him on the iPad and he's like, hello, madame. Is that Dolce & Gabbana you're wearing? I mean, what? It is hard to find good help. Am I right? I can guarantee you Randy's never said, is that Dolce & Gabbana? Is that Dolce & Gabbana you're wearing? Fucking temp. Hey, Randy, do better. Okay.
Michael's in assisted care, but we still talk all the time. Michael's basically like family, which means he's like an employee, but I just don't pay him very much and instead kind of hint at a decent will payout. Am I right, Whitney?
I brought you some gum, Mother.
Michael, could you show us how to make martinis the way that you used to? Because I would never replace you, but it's come time to replace you. I've been dealing with many inferior martinis.
So he walks her through the process of making a martini, and she tells us,
people say it's so easy to make a martini, but it's not. It's extremely difficult. It's even harder hunting down a person that can make a martini. Guns are too loud. You have to learn how to use a bow and an arrow with a poison tip, preferably. That reminds me, Whitney, has Randy come to yet?
No, Mother. He's still kicking in his sleep like a running dog.
Hmm. What a shame. I would have loved for him to attempt to learn this, eh, Michael?
So Whitney tastes a martini, and he's like, wow, this... this is an exceptional martini, Michael. Crisp. Exceptionally good. We miss you, Michael. And your martinis. Michael's like, yes, can you believe this is the second anniversary of my incident? And they're like,
oh, second, awkward. Second,
that's crazy.
Neither one of you even remembered his second anniversary of having a stroke. You two were terrible, okay? This guy had a stroke. And now is away from you, and you're calling him on the second anniversary of his tragedy to find out how to make his martini so you can get by without him? Heartless. Heartless.
So, when you say your incident, you mean the time that you had that thing happen that was in no shape or form the fault of anyone on this property, and you will sign a paper saying that?
Oh, yes, it happened 3 feet over the property line, ma'am. I was chasing a bird into the street, trying to remind it whose stoop not to poop on later on.
Well done, Michael.
So, Michael, there's probably so much else that we could talk about right now.
Well,
Ask him how he turns off the ringer of the iPad. That's something I need to know.
I can teach you that, Mother.
Well, you're doing great, Michael. It's good to see you. Now, you get the nudes of that new butler that I sent over? Sending nudes is all the rage here in Charleston. Right, Whitney?
Wow, ma'am, that new butler sure can take a trunking. My hat's off to him. I'm glad you're having fun, madam.
You too, Michael.
Well, I'm not sure I would really call this fun.
Okay, bye, Michael. Time's up. I don't have any more quarters to put into the phone.
It's really good to see Michael. I'm glad he's doing well. Patricia's crying. Or at least she's raising a paper towel to her face while doing this. I mean, I'm assuming it's crying. But it, of course, lasts like 2 seconds. And then she's like, okay, throws away the paper towel and goes back to her little buzzing device to electrocute Randy in the trunk. This is where Vanita and Leva are going to dinner. They're supposed to be meeting Olivia for dinner, and Olivia's not showing up. And then they find out that Olivia's brother has passed, and it just becomes really, really sad. So the rest of the episode is basically Olivia grieving and then everybody kind of trying to figure out how they can help Olivia and help her through this. Austin has a therapy scene about it. But even, you know, with all the shit that I give Austin, you know, he is a human being, allegedly. And seeing this episode, you know, I make fun of, like, fake tears a lot. Like, people aren't even really crying. They're just crying on TV. This is TV crying. But Austin is really, really breaking down over this and, like, you know, relating it to his own sister situation. And it's sad, you know? I mean, I even felt for Austin in this episode, which is extremely rare for me. You know, I really don't like to feel things. And I don't only not like to feel things here on this show, because we're always trying to, like, make a joke or whatever. I really don't like feeling things in real life. And that's probably something I should talk to a therapist for, but my trust issues run so deep that I don't even trust therapists. What do you think of that? So that's where I'm at. But, you know, I'll need time to work through my stuff. It's going to be a lot longer than until next week's episode, but we will be back next week. Ben will be back from the hospital. He got out of surgery. He's doing really well, and I'll be back with him. But in the meantime, everybody take care of yourselves out there. Thank you for joining me for this half a recap. Thanks always for being here. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.